Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love. And our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 3, we learned the present contemporary movement in churches is nothing new. Trying to bring elements of the world into the worship of God can be seen throughout the Old Testament. Let's continue with that subject today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
In the Old Testament, we think the contemporary movement is new today. Back in Exodus, even before the law got really put in place, Moses is on the mount. He's receiving the Ten Commandments, but the people of God who has just been delivered from Egypt, the Red Sea's parted. The armies chasing them were killed in that Red Sea when it came back on them. They go to Meribah, and the waters there are poisoned, and God says, throw this tree in, and they do, and they pray, and the water is perfected. God will eventually send manna down from heaven to feed the people. I mean, thing after thing, and yet, seeing the hand of God, they get up, and they get into some very sensual dancing of the golden calf. The golden calf was like the golden calf that the Egyptians worshiped. That's why in all the plagues that hit Egypt, every one dealt with a god that was worshipped by the Egyptians. And remember the cattle, how there was the fire and the things that fell from heaven and the rain came upon them. All of that was from things they worshipped. The worship of the golden calf was a very sensual worship. The Israelites, when they were in Egypt in captivity, they didn't participate in it. The Egyptians just wanted that for themselves, but they watched. And so there would be drinking. There'd be dancing, there'd be nudity, there'd be all of that that would go on in their worship. So what are they doing when they get in there into the wilderness and they think that Moses must be dead? He's been up there 40 days and 40 nights, so he must be dead. So we got to do something about this. Aaron, hey Aaron, listen, we don't know what's happened to this Moses, so why don't we do something about that and let's have a feast of the Lord. Let's do these things. And so Aaron tells him to bring your earrings and things like that, and off your sons, off your daughters and wives, and bring them in. They make a golden image. That golden image is carved into a golden calf. And then Aaron, I mean, he's supposed to be the man of God. He's supposed to be the guy. He's the one that's second only to Moses. Aaron goes in, and he just says to the people, okay, we are going to have a feast tomorrow, a feast of the Lord, because they're saying by this golden calf the Lord delivered us. They were giving glory to the golden calf, not to the God who delivered them. God didn't deliver them through a golden calf. God delivered them, and he used Moses in that delivery, and Moses was not a golden calf, okay? And so, but they were doing that. Sure enough, Moses is still up on top of the mount, and they, next day, they're up, and they get up, rise up early. I mean, the Bible says they rise up early, and it's for this purpose, to worship that golden calf that brought us from the land of Egypt, which it did not. The God they're worshiping is false, is made of their hands when our God made us. And if they form that out of their hands, and that's you don't make God. God created heaven and earth. We were made in God's image, and not the image that a man thinks about. And I don't know why he would think a cow should be his God. But that's what happened in that day. And so as Moses up on the mountain, what happens? God says, go down there. I'm going to kill them all. He says, they've turned. They've worshipped a golden calf. He's telling them everything they've done. And Moses goes down there. Joshua's waiting on him. He's up there inside the mountain with him. And he's waiting for him when he comes down, and he says, I hear the noise of war in the camp. Now, why would he say the noise of war? Because the music that they were dancing to was beat-driven. I mean, just like hard rock today, that's what it was, just their music. They played whatever instruments they had, but man, those drums were beating loud. They're so hard that Joshua thought, wow, there's a war getting ready to start. Well, there, in one sense, there was. God was about ready to destroy all of them. They couldn't have stopped the hand of God. Fortunately, Moses is a compassionate man, and he has compassion for Israel, and he beseeches the Lord, says, don't do that. If you do that, then the Egyptians are going to say, God just brought you out here to destroy the Israelites and going to justify it the way they've been, is basically what he is saying. And so he does get God to stop, but he goes back down. That's when he throws those Ten Commandments down on the ground. They break in pieces. And he takes the golden image, burns it to ashes, and then throws it into water and tells the people, drink it. And they do. They do. And so they have to do it. I find it very interesting. Here's a guy at 80 years old, comes off the mount. 80-year-old man, over millions of people there. And they're scared to death. I mean, they're shaking in their sandals over this guy. You know, they know that he could call fire down from heaven. And so they don't really want to cross Moses. But Aaron, boy, they could talk to him into anything. And as a matter of fact, Exodus 32 will tell us that even Moses, in talking to Aaron, says, and they got the clothes off. Aaron tries to say, well, they brought their things to me and we put them in the fire and out came this calf. That was a big lie. The Bible lets us know that he had a tool in which he was fashioning it. So that was a lie there. But I think perhaps, maybe, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us. He said a feast unto the Lord. The word Lord there is the word Yahweh, which is Almighty God. And so they were doing this feast unto our Almighty God who delivered us through this calf. Well, that's where they went wrong. But maybe Aaron was thinking the same thing that people do today. See, one thing that we learn from history is that people do not learn from history. And so what happens? Aaron says he's going to build this altar, and he does. And so it's a feast unto the Lord. It's a feast unto Yahweh. He thought that adding God's name to it would make it all right. Adding God's name to it would make it good. And yet we find later that he had the people taking their clothes off and drinking and everything else. At least that's what the Bible says. And so you better go along with the Bible on that. And Aaron himself is fortunate that God didn't kill him there on the spot. It's a good thing. You know, as a Christian, learn to intercede for your people, intercede for your country, intercede for your family. They do some of the worst things sometimes, and somebody just really upsets you, but make sure that you don't get the same attitude they have, because they need somebody that's going to be a witness. They need somebody that's going to intercede in prayer, but they also need somebody that'll be a Moses and rebuke them and let them know what you are doing is totally wrong. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we hear about the local church in Corinth. Now, I mean, that church had a lot of saved people in it. But some of those people that were saved had been homosexuals, had been harlots, that had been abusers of themselves, of mankind. They had more than likely had what we'd call sex trafficking today going on in their lives, drunkenness. The whole thing. And yet they got saved. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing there in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, because when he mentions all those atrocious sins that it should even make any of us sick to even think about it. And then to know that the Bible says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, that, and such were some of you, but you're washed. You are sanctified. You're cleansed. You know, they were cleansed by the blood. They were set apart by Jesus Christ through that cleansing blood and all of that, yet those past lives. And that just tells us the Lord can change a life. He can change it. If they'll give themselves to him, He'll save them. He'll cleanse them. He'll make them new creatures. Well, we find out in 1 Corinthians 11, though, it just didn't happen in the Old Testament Egypt. It happens in other places in the Old Testament. You go to the book of Ezekiel, what's going on? Well, they got images on the wall, the sun god, to other false gods, inside the temple. If that's not enough, there are ladies out front with their worship of a goddess that is not a true god. And so they have all that going on, and God ends up taking his glory off. He's called the Shekinah glory, and the glory is removed, and they lose their temple. I mean, they lose everything. They get restored. They get the temple built, and then what happens? Yeah, you get onto the book of Malachi. You find out that the priests were doing the same things. They were very immoral, fornication. Their wives were crying over what they were doing. God had to bring judgment there. But also, we could even look back to Jeremiah. After they've been conquered by Babylon, they've lost everything they have. They were told they could stay there in Israel because one man gets killed. They say, oh, what are we going to do now? And they turn to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says, I'll pray. And he comes back and tells them after he's done praying, don't go to Egypt. God will take care of you right here. That's the word from the Lord. Ah, you don't know what you're talking about, Jeremiah. We're going on to Egypt. They get on to Egypt. Evidently, they force Jeremiah with them. And in Egypt, what happens? Well, Jeremiah preaches to them. They're false gods. They were the gods that the women worshiped, and the men knew they worshiped. And they said, oh, no, it's not like that. Listen, it was better in Egypt when we worshiped those false gods than to worship the way you're talking about, the old way. The old way, that's past. Well, you lost everything. You lost your possessions. You lost everything you have. As a matter of fact, immediate family would no longer be back in Israel of that group. That's the way it works. You get in Revelation, you've got seven churches that are no longer in existence today because they decided that the world had a better way of doing church, that their standards were better than the holy standards of God. I'm just saying that's a history throughout the Bible, and yet the contemporary movement is not a brand new thing. It happened way back in the Old Testament, as far back as Exodus, and continued throughout, and down through history, that's the thing that happens over and over. People want something that makes them relevant and popular with the world. And that is not loving Jesus Christ. That is not right with God. And when you have a preacher stands up in your pulpit, someone you know comes in, says, now it's time to transition from the King James Bible. We'll be covering that in just a few minutes, but that's a man that the Bible will identify as a heretic.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the Sermon Library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible.